Hello. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back to Part 8 of Revelation's Synopsis of End Time Events. Last week, in Part 7, I spoke concerning the spirit of Satan, which is manifesting itself in the world. And this week, I'd like to continue the discussion of the topic, but carry it one step further. As I said last week in my closing statements, I'd like to talk this week about the golden image in the book of Daniel, which King Nebuchadnezzar set up for the people to worship, and which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to. This golden image, which King Nebuchadnezzar created, and the image of the beast referred to in Revelation 13, which the people of earth created, are very closely related. The golden image of Nebuchadnezzar is the initial symbolism that the Bible uses to point to our current image of the beast. The image of the beast of Revelation 13 is Satan's present-day form of the golden image, which has been formed by the people of earth in order that Satan might carry out the very same plan of evil which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar. As Nebuchadnezzar used the golden image to inspire worship of himself, so does Satan use the image of the beast to inspire worship of himself. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go hand in hand together. Daniel or Revelation can't be very well understood without each other. But before I get ahead of myself, let's go back to the book of Daniel and take a look at the first glimpse the Bible gives us of Revelation's image of the beast. In chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, we read where the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, dreamed a dream. Upon awakening, he couldn't remember the dream, but was so affected by it that he desired the wise men of his kingdom to remember the dream for him and to interpret its meaning. It was Daniel who told the dream to Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted it. The dream was essentially this. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream and saw a great image which had exceptional brightness. And what he saw was an image in the form of a man which was formed with different metals. The head was gold, the breast and arms were silver, the belly and thighs were bronze, the legs were iron, and the feet were part iron and part clay. In addition, the 10 toes were also made of iron and clay. Daniel further explained that the head of gold represented the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the first world government, for his kingdom dominated all the people of earth. After this initial kingdom, there would arise another kingdom, which was also a world government, and would be governed by the two kings of the Medes and Persians. This kingdom would be inferior to the first kingdom of Babylon, and this inferiority is represented by the metal silver. Silver is inferior to gold in the sense of its value. However, silver is a better metal than gold for purposes where strength is needed. What we're seeing immediately is that as the description of the image is explained in a downward pattern, there is a decrease in the centrality of rule over the earth, but yet an increase in the overall strength of this world government. But the next kingdom would be made even more inferior because it would be split up into 4 parts, which is what happened when the kingdom of Greece was established. This kingdom is described as being of brass, or bronze, which is a copper alloy. Again, the inferiority of brass or bronze is in its value, but there is once again an increase in strength, as this metal is stronger than silver. Essentially, the increasing inferiority means that the kingdom is not ruled by a single person, but by more than one. Although the kingdom is inferior in that the rulership has become more diverse, yet it still has once again evolved into a stronger kingdom. The interpretation of the different aspects of this image continually points out the stages of inferiority, but also emphasizes the increase of the overall strength of kingdom rule on the earth. The next kingdom was also more diverse and was made of iron. Essentially, this kingdom would be controlled by a republic, which would rule in much the same way as a democracy, yet with a ruler which had extreme power. Rome is the physical equivalent of this fourth kingdom, and it eventually gave rise to a split between Eastern and Western rule, which ceased to act together. This is what is represented by the 2 feet of the image, which were formed with clay and iron. Both the Western and Eastern forms of the Roman Empire were partly strong and partly broken, and although the two divided empires ruled the whole world, they did it separately within their own sub-kingdoms and not in one accord or one agreement with each other. The eventual graduation to the 10 toes of the image represents that this Iron Kingdom continues to this day. However, it only continues in the sense of there being several sub-kingdoms that act independently, yet form a ruling authority over all the earth. The kingdom continued to diversify into rule by the many, but it also continued to gain more and more strength over the whole world. From this perspective, we can see a kingdom of earth which has evolved from one worldwide government into another worldwide government, but in an increasingly diversified manner. The current world government is ruled by the many and not a world kingdom which is brought under the rule of a single king. And this, the restoring of this worldwide government under one rule, is what Satan has to do in order to bring about his plan to overthrow the kingdom of heaven. And yes, I know this probably sounds confusing, but this is just an overview of this initial plan of action which Satan has been putting into force for thousands of years, and it's not a complete explanation. But this ultimate plan of action for Satan is described later in the book of Daniel, where the Bible describes the record of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the fiery furnace when they would not bow down and worship the golden image. First of all, let's read the initial account of Daniel 3:1-6. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth of it 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoever falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Well, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this Bible story, and many of you probably learned it at a young age in church. However, the full extent of this historical record is not realized until you connect the physical account of the golden image with the spiritual meaning it symbolizes. And in order to do this, you must understand the connection between Nebuchadnezzar's golden image and the original image in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But there's one more part to this that also must be added, and that's the concept of the image of the beast, which is referred to in Revelation 13. The image of the beast in Revelation 13 and the dream of the image by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 is also connected with the golden image of Daniel chapter 3. These three images are all part of the overall prophetical picture. Let me try to show you the connection. I'll try to make it as simple as possible. The real key to connecting these three images is the fact that Satan is attempting to form a one-world government in which he is the supreme ruler. The Tower of Babel was his initial attempt, but of course, as I've explained previously, God placed a hindrance before Satan by bringing confusion of language to the people who were building the tower. This destroyed the unity. It prevented the people from being of one mind. And this loss of unity prevented Satan from accomplishing his goal. However, the hindrance slowed him down, but it did not stop him from continuing his plan of overthrowing the kingdom of heaven. Satan's plan of action has been in force since the beginning. Only the hindrance God placed in his way caused Satan's plan to progress at a much slower pace than it would have if the people had been able to continue building the original tower. And this unity is significant and is actually the central aspect of the three images. The first image was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which symbolically described each stage of what Satan was building. The first stage of Satan's plan was the physical kingdom of Babylon, which is described as being a head of gold. And when this gold kingdom was replaced by the kingdom of silver, notice that the deterioration was only in that the rulership was divided. The actual rule was still a one-world government, only it had more than one king at the top. But the one-world government of silver was stronger than the kingdom of gold. The third kingdom was even more inferior, but again, the government of the world was stronger. This continued downward, with each successive change bringing yet another world rulership, even more divided, but yet stronger than the one before. It was only when the kingdoms of the world government became widely dispersed that the clay was introduced, and then some of the kingdoms were strong and some were weak. But still, overall rulership was a strong world government with the quality of iron. It is at this time in the current end of nations that Satan is attempting to consolidate all earthly powers of this diverse world government into one government where he himself is the head. The golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship, was the symbolic representation of what Satan's real intentions are. The kingdom has, and always has continued to be, a secular kingdom ruled without the direction of God. There is no coming one-world government without God, for our present-day government of the world is already ruled by mankind, and the powers that be do not give credit to God. Sure, in lip service they do, but not in actual obedience to God himself. Our world governments are secular in nature. Even in the times of the church rule, the rule was not by the Holy Spirit, but by the cunning and craftiness of self-greed for money and power. To understand the full picture, you must realize that Nebuchadnezzar was the physical king of Babylon, but Satan is the spiritual equivalent. What God is showing his people by the book of Daniel is a beneath-the-surface look at Satan's true desire. What Satan wants to do is to unite the nations of earth and bring them all back together under his own rule. In essence, Satan's plan is to allow the rulership of the world government to become fragmented, but at the same time to become much more powerful in the sense of controlling the mindset of the world's population. It is a godless society which rules earth. When the time of the end comes, Satan's plan is to bring unity once again between all people and to set himself on the throne of world power. The golden image is a symbolic expression of Satan's plan to incorporate all the power of the different nations which rule earth and bring them back into the same state as the original Babylon, as described by the head of gold. It is the unity of one mind that would allow him to rule all nations. And the last part of this equation is the image of the beast in Revelation 13. Through this last image, Satan's plan would be accomplished if God allowed the time to continue to the end. However, we know that God has shortened the time so that the elect will not be deceived. But if allowed to continue, Satan would, by the image of the beast, reintroduce the unity of one mind, which was first established at the Tower of Babel, and this unity would actually bring about one mind of the people, with Satan's will controlling it. The image of the beast is an accurate picture of who and what Satan is. The pictures and sounds of television screens and movies accurately depict the nature of Satan. This is the nature of the beast, and this form of imagery and sounds brainwashes the people of earth and teaches them Satan's doctrine. The spirit of Satan is manifested in the wicked actions of people, and the imagery and sounds of TVs and movies continues to bombard the world with Satan's concepts and perspectives. And this spirit of the beast nature has now penetrated the church, and in the last few years, the leadership of the Christian church has been transforming. It is being transformed into a mechanism which is inspired by the desire for wealth and power instead of being inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is a denominational split that is more than just East and West. It is many forces which follow the doctrines and precepts of man rather than being led of the Holy Spirit of God. The spirit of Satan has been manifesting itself in the earth, and the beast nature of Satan is rapidly devouring people, including the people in the churches. Satan's intent is to mold the nations of earth into one golden image, and the gold of this image symbolically implies that there will no longer be a leadership of the world government which is divided among kings. The world government that Satan envisions is completely unified under his leadership. And his goal, if God allowed it to follow its prescribed course, is to destroy every single person who does not align with his plan. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a symbolic representation which demonstrates Satan's intent to destroy every resistance to his rule. However, as we can see in Daniel's account, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were accompanied by a fourth person in that fiery furnace, and that person is Jesus Christ. Satan's attempted destruction of God's people will not take place, for Jesus Christ will deliver us from that ultimate destruction. The fires of hell cannot prevail against those who love God and who call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Now let's stop here and recap what has been said. Maybe if I summarize this account, it might be more clear, for this is important to us to understand what we're facing in these last days. First, there was rebellion in earth after the flood when the people of earth were moved by Satan to create a city and a tower which would exalt the people and make a name for them. The attempt was primitive in its original form, yet God knew its potential, for the people were united in mind and purpose, and that purpose was not to exalt God, but to exalt their own selves and to make themselves a name in the earth. Satan was the power behind this, and his spirit was being manifested, outwardly shown, by this Tower of Babylon. But God placed a hindrance before Satan in order to contain him until such time as the plan of God would bring righteousness to the earth. Because God caused this disunity in the mind of man, the tower was abandoned. Satan's next step was to establish the rule of kingdoms on earth, and that this rule would be by the might and power of man instead of by the Spirit of God. The initial kingdom of Babylon was represented as being of pure gold because of the purity of the leadership. It was united under one king. The next stage of Satan's plan was a stronger kingdom base, but with a divided rulership. And of course, the next kingdom and the next, etc., all followed this course of being a world government which became more and more divided as to ruling factions, but with the overall strength of the might and power of mankind becoming greater and greater. Each time the kingdom was divided, the overall strength of this world kingdom became stronger, and the strength was in the might and power of man and not in the righteousness of God. The image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar set up was representative of Satan's intent to eventually bring this godless world government back within the original gold kingdom of Babylon. But this time, the kingdom would be Great Babylon, and all those who loved the might and power of the physical realm would be the body that Satan needed. Great Babylon would be Satan's queen, and the queen would be all those who love the lies of Satan and who loved the things of earth. There are three images which represent Satan. The first image is from the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which was formed with different metals and represented the stages of growth of the world's might and power. The second image was the image of gold, which represented Satan's ultimate goal of unifying the world government once again and bringing it under his own rule. The third image is the image of the beast, which is described in Revelation 13. This third image is the final push of Satan to bring back that single-minded unity of purpose, which was originally lost at the Tower of Babel when the beast suffered the wound to its head. The image of the beast continually brainwashes the world with the concepts of evil and brings doubt to the minds of men concerning the true Word of God. Slowly but surely, Satan is replacing God's Word with thoughts and concepts of his own. His lies are distributed forcefully by the image of the beast and are dissuading all men from following after God and causing them to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The image of the beast, which speaks, is every form of picture and sound which describes evil. It is a complete system of mental brainwashing which destroys the truth of God and exalts the lies of Satan. What Christians must soon come to realize is that this plan of Satan's is most definitely in place, and we are rapidly coming to the very end of times at breakneck speed. Yet, most people are unaware of what is taking place. Yes, Christians are somewhat concerned with the mark of the beast and the Antichrist nature, but because of the great deception, they are mostly in the dark. In addition, there are those who work within the Christian community itself, which have taught doctrines which help to keep Christians in the dark. One of these doctrines is the lie that there is a pre-tribulation rapture. This makes Christians think they will miss the great trial of their faith and will escape the time of Satan's great deception. But because they think they are not going to have their faith tested, they continue to live in luxury and live licentiously. Christians everywhere are beginning to incorporate the ways of the world, and even our churches are becoming operational mostly by programs of how to raise money and add people, without ever turning to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But it is the Holy Spirit that will guide us into all truth, and it is a love for the truth of God that will deliver us from the deception of Satan's lies. It's time for Christians to wake up. We must pray that God intervenes, shortening the time, for soon there would be no life left on earth, only the walking dead who serve the prince and power of the air. It is Satan who is the prince of this world, the prince of flesh and blood, but it is God who is the ruler of all those who are born again in spirit. You must be born again, or else you will die in Great Babylon, for Satan will be your king. God will destroy Great Babylon, and therefore Christians must heed the call of Revelation 18:4, which says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not be partakers of her sins, and that you will not receive of her plagues."